Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we are broadcasting today from magnificent Santa Barbara, California, where the sun is out and it is stupendously gorgeous. As I look out the window and I'm seeing waves gently coming in on the seashore. Well, today we have a wonderful guest. Her name is Demetria Clark. We're going to be talking about herbal healing for children. Now, this is something that I don't think many people bring up. We're all familiar with herbal healing and how we can do things for ourselves medicinally that can make our lives healthier and better. But what I am looking at with this material is how we can help our little people, little ones that maybe we don't want them to be on antibiotics, maybe we don't want them to have certain types of effects from medications. We have options to work with, and that's what Demetria is all about, is educating us. Demetria, welcome to the show.
Having me on.
Oh, you're more than welcome. It's delightful. Now, you are a woman with quite a fascinating background and experience. You were really aware when you were a little girl that this was something that you really wanted to do, that you knew that you wanted to be involved with herbs. Tell my listening audience how this all came about.
Well, I was a military child, and we traveled a lot, and we just came in contact with a lot of different people from different regions of the United States, from Puerto Rico to Alaska, and I started asking questions about people's food choices and why they ate certain things, and it just kind of grew from there, because for me, herbs were part of the food chain. It was a natural progression, and so I always had the right people around me to answer questions when I was little, so it just kept spurring me on. If somebody had said, go away, you're driving me nuts, then maybe I would have ended up in a different career.
Oh, I don't think so. I think you were correct, that this is a natural affinity. And there are some of us that are aware of certain things that we really have a natural predisposition towards. And I think that is what you found with yourself, and it's good that you were able to follow it. Now, you had a relative in your family that was really very much of the mindset of working with nature as much as possible. Who was that family member?
Well, there are so many of them. Did I say specifically one person, or?
Well, I was thinking of your grandma.
Oh, all right. My grandma is not just, into nature and the environment. She's also the kind of person who believes that her job is to be of service. So she's always done things to help people, worked in literacy programs, worked in, you know, different kinds of volunteering. And, you know, so she's just always, I always saw her doing stuff that made things better. And so when I would ask her a question, she'd always take the time to answer me, and she's a very smart woman, and she would tell me stories about her past and the way things used to be done, my grandfather also. And so just, it was like, this is an okay road. You know, there wasn't, why do you want to know about that? Or, you know, oh, well, this, people don't do it like that anymore. It was like, let's hold on to the sacredness of our past. And my whole family is kind of like that.
Well, it sounds like you picked your family well, because it was just a real good partnership on so many different levels.
Oh, for sure. We're a nutty bunch.
Well, they sound like they're a nutty bunch with some good aspects.
Oh, no, we have fun.
I can imagine. Now, when you were quite young and mm-hmm. you were experiencing migraine headaches, and if somebody has never gone through that, they just have no idea. Migraines can make you feel like your brain is just totally out of commission. You can't see. Sometimes people just absolutely, I have a very dear friend that goes through them every once in a while. They just can't function. They absolutely have to stop, lay down, just go into a no zone of absolute quiet because the body is rebelling. But when you were little, you were, and I say little because you were small, you were just aware that you had to do something because you got this horrific headache. As a child, what made you decide to choose the laurel leaf?
Well, I always walked around chewing and picking on leaves without any idea of what I was doing. But what happened was I was having a particularly violent migraine, so I decided to take a run and run. And so I ran and ran and ran. I found myself in the mountain laurel stand. I was chewing on the leaves like I always did when I passed it. And then I plunged my head into a stream of very cold New England water. And that then became my ritual when I had a headache. It was just, you know, it wasn't a matter of me choosing the plant. The plant chose me. And then later when I grew up, I found out that it can potentially be toxic if too much is taken. And that, you know, but it was traditionally used for headaches hundreds of years ago. But I didn't know that when I was little. You know, I had no idea. It was just, you know, I don't want to sound too goofy, but the plant said, hey, I'm over here. There's a reason why you ran to me, because it was a subconscious thing. I felt like I needed to take, you know, my head was pounding. I was like, I'm going to just run and, you know, get every, you know, it was just this little, you know how children go through these little things in their head.
Sure.
It's only a cure a kid could come up with, right? So, you know, and then I, you know, found myself there and I habitually just kind of chewed on the leaves and decided to plunge my head in the water and then my headache was gone.
You yourself have started in herbal school. You started it in 1998. It's called The Heart of Herbs. And you've literally trained thousands of people. When you decided to open this school, what were the protocols that you felt needed to be established for herbal training?
Well, in the United States, there isn't any formal regulations and guidelines. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to follow a European style as far as, you know, you have assignments and work and, you know, and kind of set it up like some of the schools in Europe had been set up. But I wanted to do things a little bit differently also. So students only interact with me, so their questions will be answered immediately. I wanted the things that weren't as readily available to me when I was an herbal student. I wanted it to feel, if they weren't classroom students, I wanted it to feel as much like being in a classroom as possible. So I set up, you know, online stuff and interactive, and I wanted students to really feel like they're studying one-on-one with me and I can work with them. And that opened the doors to all kinds of students. So I don't just have one demographic of students. I literally have all types of students all over the world, from neurosurgeons and nurses and midwives to moms and, you know, truck drivers, ministers. I mean, you name it, you know. And I think that just having that, you know, they know that if they have a question, it gets answered, you know, has really helped with the school growing. And then also, you know, I want students to explore their own environment. So I don't tell students, you must learn about this herb and this herb. Because if they're in Africa or India or Canada, they may not have access to the same things. So the whole program is based on finding a way to practice and work in your community, supporting your community. So, you know, it becomes a circle. You know, you become a resource in your community who is also providing resources.
There is a point of information about you traveling with the Grateful Dead as a deadhead, and you need to tell us what that was all about.
Well, that was put in there tongue-in-cheek. I had a few students who enrolled years later, and they remembered me from my deadhead days. And they always would joke that, oh, you were the Grateful Dead's herbalist. Of course I wasn't. That's just a joke. But if they're listening, they can call me. But, you know, it was just kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing I put in, and it seems to be the thing that everybody asks about. But, you know, I mean, I would make medicine and help people and, you know, mm-hmm. while I was on the road, so to speak.
You go into, with your book, and we'll mm-hmm. discuss herbs in just a little bit, but there's a big difference between treating an adult and treating a child.
Yeah.
It's like there's a big difference between treating an adult and an elderly person that mm-hmm. is very frail. To me, the elderly and children are so parallel that smaller dosages of something goes a long way, and also things can become toxic because their bodies are not operating many times at a level of efficiency as a mature adult body does. You talked in your book about one child that you had that had severe bronchitis and had been working with conventional medicines, and the side effects were very good, and the mother wanted to know what else could be used. And one of the things you had recommended was to eliminate the meat and dairy products from this child's diet while mm-hmm. they were having herbs, and it really made a difference with the child. How is it that you can determine what aspects of diet and or accurate amounts for herbs with individuals? I think that that is such a significant area for anyone to deal with. It is extremely important to be able to recognize the uniqueness of individual metabolism. How do you do that?
Well, Everybody's different, and so you have to look at things like the weight of the child, the health of the child, the overall well-being of the child, you know, their how they act, how they present themselves, their skin, their hair, you know, just kind of assessing things you would assess as a mom. You know, when you have children, you always can tell when your kids are sick. Their eyes are different. They smell differently. So just kind of, you know, assessing that. I like to often ask parents to come to me with a diagnosis. I don't diagnose disease because that in the United States wouldn't be allowed. Mm-hmm. And if the parents come to me and say, this is what the doctor says my child has, or their nurse practitioner or whatever, then I can work with that. I think that sometimes, I think that reducing the amount of meat that a child consumes is really important, because meat has a lot of hormones and antibiotics, and it carries, you know, it sits in the system differently. And so when a child is, you know, usually when kids are not feeling well, the last thing they want is a steak anyways, because their digestive system is working on something else. And they're, you know, so that's kind of, you know, I suggest that often because it is a really simple thing parents can do. And often if there's an issue with digestion or the child is fighting something like bronchitis, eliminating the excess animal product from their diet really gives their body time to readjust. They're digesting more fruits and vegetables. They're drinking more water, potentially. And it really gives the body an opportunity to start reworking. And when it's doing that, it has more energy to take care of itself. It's very labor-intensive for the body to digest animal products, more so mm-hmm. than, you know, vegetables. And so that's kind of a very easy, an easy thing that I will often suggest, and it does the trick right away. For some children, obviously not always. But children aren't naturally inclined often to seek out, unless they're made in these little packages, you know, meat, because their bodies are smaller, and, you know, it takes a lot of energy for them to digest it.
Mm-hmm. You bring out a point of information that 80% of the world's population relies on herbal medicines for some portion of its primary health care. In Europe, this is very, very strong. Germany, mm-hmm. England, I've been aware of that. And in many countries of the world, in Africa, there was so much of that that went on for such a long time. And in cultures throughout history, they learned about those plants that would serve them well. And it was trial and error, I'm sure. And they observed nature. They observed animals. I know of a gentleman that, from observing his horses, was able to design something that effectively cured cancer. Mm-hmm. And it was just amazing, because one of his animals had cancer, and he put the mm-hmm. horse out to die, and he just observed the animal, and lo and behold, the cancer disappeared. And he said, this is really fascinating stuff. So he was a person that was curious and researched and found out this information. And there are so many things in the plant world that, you know, medical products are modeled after, drugs and herbs are different in certain respects, but the plant kingdom is where so much of it comes from. And we, I think, are beginning in the Western world to start acknowledging more of this. Why is it, do you think it's been so difficult in the United States? I mean, this is the royal family in England uses homeopathic items and has been involved with natural care to a great degree for, as long as they've been around. This has been very important. Why do you think it's been so difficult in the United States?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with how our medical societies were formed. They managed to eradicate midwifery almost completely and herbalism when they first formed. And I think part of it is there's too much money to be made off of sick Americans. And if individuals knew that, you know, if they had type 2, and there are a lot of great doctors who try to get people to change their diet and try. I'm not trying to put down any profession, but if individuals were more aware of natural things that worked, then I think they would be more inclined to follow that. Part of the problem is, in the United States, we have a lot of studies that are put out about herbs, and they're funded by pharmaceutical companies who are making a product that competes with the herb, and there's no oversight with that. You know, it's really because what we did is we took herbal medicine and we took midwifery and we made it something that ignorant people did, that poor people did, and then people decided that, well, I'm going to go to the doctor. I'm not going to use what my grandmother suggests because I can now afford it. It was a sign of affluence to leave all of that behind. You know, we really in the United States have a problem with keeping up with the Joneses, but in doing that, we really lose a lot of our valuable knowledge and traditions. And so I think that's some of it.
Herbs also work differently. It's a process that many times is a slower process, and it's something that is meant to work with the body, not against it. And I think one of the things that has evolved is that we think we should have an instantaneous fix. And the human body is such a phenomenal living machine that we're fortunate enough to have. And it takes time to be able to become aware of what is going to work for it and what isn't going to work for it, because again, we're very individualistic. And I think that that's one of our challenges today, because people will say, well, this is something, we'll just take this pill or we'll take that pill and it should be gone. And then they find that they end up having compounding situations that evolve rather quickly. So it's an interesting challenge, but the American people in many ways, I mean, they're spending billions of dollars on alternative factors, and I'm finding that many people are more open to learning about what they can do in a positioning of prevention. But it takes a learning curve, and sometimes we have to go through problems of being sick. But let's talk about kids, because environment affects kids here, and I want you to make a comment about how to get herbs. I can remember getting some herbal tablets, and this person that had recommended certain things, it was relative to Chinese medicine. And when I looked at the bottle, it said it may contain lead. And there are different things that can be put out by people, and you look at this stuff and you go, wait a minute, why is this even allowed? How can we determine? That's one of the biggest challenges that anybody has. But what herbs, what do we look for to make sure that what we are looking at utilizing in the way of herbs, that they are manufactured in the right way? Because there is a particular process to go through when you're working with herbs, isn't it?
Yeah, you're definitely right. I think that the things that parents should think about before they even shop for an herbal product is finding remedies that are indigenous to their environment. I am not a great supporter of getting remedies from overseas because, one, I think the environmental cost is just too much, and support your local business. And then things that are indigenous to your environment are going to work better with your body because you already are familiar with the pollen. You're already familiar with, you know, your body is just part of your environment. And so that's one of the first things. And products that are manufactured in the United States have to follow certain quality controls. They can't have lead in them. They can't have melamine. They can't, you know, they can't have all these different things. And then if you can find a company that has its information online or doesn't mind answering questions, so you can call them and say, I was thinking of buying this tincture, but can you just tell me a little bit about your manufacturing process, or are the herbs organic? If they're not organic, are they ethically wildcrafted? If they're not ethically wildcrafted, can you tell me more about your growing process or where you get them from, and making sure that the original source is a good, safe, ethical source? And if they can't answer those questions, then you should tell them as a consumer, I was really interested in the product. I don't feel comfortable buying it if you can't, you know, tell me more about it. And so I'm going to go look elsewhere. And they should respond positively. I mean, it's not everyone, every single part of the United States has an amazing amount of herbs, even the deserts. There are herbs for, you know, remedies for lots of things. So looking in your local environment is the best place to start. If you don't want to make them yourself, then finding a local herbalist or finding a company locally that makes herbal products is a great way to go.
And you have a recipe in here that I think is really terrific, and that is for wild cherry cough syrup. And also then there is another one that you've got called Bum Bum Powder. And this is something I'd like to share because here we are into the fall season of the year, and with this fall season, there comes a change in temperature, and depending on where you are in the country, your children could get a cold, or there might be something where they get a cough. Again, there are things that change that can affect them. I really think your wild cherry cough syrup is an excellent, excellent recipe. Now, you say this one, however, is for children 2 to 6 years of age. Mm-hmm. 2 to 6 years of age. And I found you've got here a cup of water, 2 tablespoons of wild cherry bark, and you say that is optional. A tablespoon of dried thyme, a tablespoon of licorice root, a tablespoon of dried sage leaves, a tablespoon of whole anise seeds, and 1 cup plus 2 to 3 tablespoons of honey. And kids like this.
Yes, they do. And the reason why there is the not under 2 is because it contains honey.
Mm-hmm.
And honey isn't safe for young children, young babies.
Now, why is honey not safe for babies?
Because it is said to potentially carry the botulism strain, and a young digestive system can't properly digest it. And so there is the potential risk to infants and very young children. Mm-hmm. I don't know how common it is, if there was an outbreak at one point, but we just... You know, I just follow those guidelines.
Mm-hmm. Well, typically, you have to be very careful with little ones anyway. You don't want to give them sugar products if it's not necessary. You want to give
for
them
sure.
the natural sugars that are already present, let's say, in fruit, because of their digestive systems. It does make a difference. And honey, I know, does have certain properties to it that can have a very strong effect on babies. Let's talk about the bum powder, because I thought, gee, this would even be great for some elderly patients, not just children. I know we're focusing on children, but some people with extremely sensitive skin, this could be really, really good. And
it's also good for skin integrity. So if individuals with diabetes or they're elderly and they're having issues with skin integrity and skin folds or anything like that, it's a really good barrier powder for that. So, yeah, it's good for, I mean, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's absolutely wonderful. And this is the recipe you have in here, a cup of fine white or pink clay. A half a cup of cornstarch, 2 tablespoons of black walnut hull powder, 2 tablespoons of myrrh powder, 1 tablespoon of golden seal powder, and 1 or 2 drops of tea tree essential oil. Golden seal is a phenomenal herb, and tea tree essential oil is what, for the last 10 years, I think it's really come forward as far as being very viable in so many different ways. But this, you can make this up, and it actually will be good to use for a full year.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, one of the great things with it is it does offer a really good, strong barrier. But also, with children being in plastic diapers or disposable diapers, almost, 100%, the amount of parents who cloth diaper isn't very large anymore. It really offers some protection from the chemicals that are in plastic diapers, the gelling chemicals, and it helps protect from what happens to the urine in those diapers. So it really helps preserve the skin.
With all of this research, your book, you have so many wonderful recipes in it. You go into a lot of information about herbs. You talk about how one can gather and preserve them and store them. And I was intrigued with the storage. I had someone give me some peppermint that they had grown, and they had put it in a plastic container. Of course, it was dried. And I can remember taking some out and looking at some white stuff that had grown on it, and yet it, crumbled in my fingers. Let's talk about storing dried herbs. I think that's very important.
Well, I think that the first thing to remember is that you need to make sure that your herb is actually dry. So if you're drying it yourself, you need to make sure it's actually dry before you store it. I prefer, but of course, if you can't, then just do the best that you can. I like using dark glass jars in a closet to protect them from light, to protect them from air or airflow changes, and to protect them from, different kinds of, things that can grow if they're in a tight jar and they're dry. But, of course, if you can't do that, you can reuse jars, put them in the closet, even if they're clear jars, and just if the closet door or the pantry door is shut, then they're going to be fine, and some of them can last quite a long time. Mm-hmm. But I think the things that you need to look out for is mold. So if you are making tea and you rinse your hands, you want to make sure they're dry before you stick them, before you get your herb out or get you don't want to get the lid wet or anything like that, because that just can introduce bacteria and mold. So you want to make sure that you try to keep it as clean as possible.
Demetria, what is your website that people can go to find out more about what you do and your school and your recipes and all that? Your book, Herbal Healing for Children, your information will be there for it. What's your website?
It's heartofherbs.com.
Heartofherbs.com. That's her website, and I will say she has got so much good information in this book, Herbal Healing for Children. But I will also say a lot of these recipes, if you have elderly people in your family, you're going to find that they would work nicely for them as well. because in my mind's view, so many times the problems are similar, that with the very elderly and with children, the needs to be aware of sensitivity and using things that are going to be gentle in the way that they're able to assist and heal. Demetria, it's been a pleasure having you as a guest today on the show. I'm so delighted you were able to join me, and I wish you nothing but the best in your continuing educating of others to understand how Mother Nature can be a tremendous ally in wellness. Thank you again for being my guest.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
This is Donna Sebo broadcasting live from Santa Barbara, California. We'll be back in just a moment. Check out Demetria's website, heartofherbs.com. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna, broadcasting live from gorgeous Santa Barbara, California. Yes, I'm down here in California on a business trip, and I'm going to be on my way to Santa Ana tomorrow, and then I'll be on my way to the Los Angeles, Glendale, Burbank area Monday and Tuesday. But the show will still be broadcast live, regardless of where I am. But man, I'll tell you, I haven't been around a beach in so long that I had forgotten how absolutely magnificent it is here in Santa Barbara. And I want to say the people who manage the facility where I'm staying, the Coast Village Inn, are just absolutely marvelous. And if you ever want to look up a place to stay at to really enjoy the beauties of the wonderful West Coast, this is a place that you should consider. They have just been absolutely wonderful, and I appreciate the staff and everybody that's involved with this wonderful place. And it's located in Montecito, California, which, of course, is right next door to Santa Barbara. Well, I want to let you know, first of all, if you want to call in and chat to me, no matter where I am, we can still talk. Here's the toll-free number that you call in to, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then I will tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me when I'm finished telling you my information, whatever it is that you're concerned about. Now, tomorrow I want to let you know the psilocybin solution with Simon Powell is going to be done tomorrow. Now, Simon is in London, and we're going to be talking with him about mushrooms. That's right. We're going to be talking about this phenomenal fungi that has not just medicinal properties, but also some other properties that I think you will find very interesting to learn about. His book is absolutely amazing. So, again, if you want to give me a buzz, the telephone number to call into, even though I'm here in Santa Barbara, I can still chat. 888-627-6008. I wanted to share something with you in the way of a quote, and I really like it. Tom Hanks is quite an accomplished actor. We all have seen him in so many different productions, The Da Vinci Code, and of course there's so many, many more in his background. But he has a statement that has been posted in a number of places that I thought was really very good, and I wanted to share it with you. And this is what he said: help publicly, help privately. Help make sense where sense has gone missing. Help science to solve and faith to heal. Help, and you will abolish apathy, the void that is so quickly filled by ignorance and evil. I thought those words were very, very poignant and well said. I think so many times it's easy to become apathetic about life, especially when it comes to ourselves. And what is usually the biggest thing that comes in and affects us? Fear. That's right, fear. So it's very important, just like my guest Demetria today, that we take the time to read, to ask questions, to learn, to be open and receptive to different perspectives, different concepts. Good, bad, or indifferent, we have the right of choice. And the only way that right can be maintained is if we utilize it. And, of course, that's up to us. That is our personal level of responsibility. So if you're feeling like you're stuck, if you're feeling as if your life has a patterning of going backwards instead of forwards, maybe what you need to do is just take time out of your busyness. And Lord knows, we all get into that rut of being so busy, we seem to meet ourselves coming and going. Take time out. Just be quiet. Turn off the computer. Get away from the phones. And if you're in a place where you can be near a stream, a brook, a beach, whatever, just be there. Be present with yourself. And allow yourself to be aware of what it is that really is most meaningful to you, what it is that you need to do to be more proactive in your life. You don't have to go out and conquer the world. This is about you. What can you do for yourself? If you're feeling blocked, why? What is it that maybe you're putting in the way? And, you know, sometimes it can be a simple thought. Sometimes it can be something maybe that somebody dumped into your mental filing cabinet a long time ago. But you need the quiet to be able to let it come to the surface so you can look at it. It is my opinion that the greatest enemies we have in life are three: ignorance, fear, and superstition. And sometimes we don't know what we don't know. We assume that we are aware of things, but we aren't going to really know unless we put ourselves out into the action of life. I have known so many individuals who will complain and they'll talk about how bad life is, how this sucks in their life, that is terrible, blah, 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 goes on and on and on. You get exhausted after being with them for about an hour. And all you have to do is listen. And you'll find usually they never take the time to look at themselves and ask the question, what am I ignoring? What am I not doing for me? And not put the blame on anybody else. It's a tough space of experience to learn to do. When we take personal responsibility, we take our power back. When we take personal responsibility, we realize that we're the ones that are going to be the choice maker in our lives and not turn it over to somebody else. It's a fascinating perspective. I'll tell you, people have so many different ways of handling situations. And I'll tell you, on this trip, I've encountered so many courteous, thoughtful, nice people. And they're strangers. I mean, it's absolutely wonderful. Maybe tomorrow I'll share with you a story, an experience that I had, and I have nothing but fine things to say about the people that I interacted with some challenges that I experienced. And I think that there is a quality in human personality where people really do care, and they honestly want to do whatever they can to make this world a better place. And I wanted to share with you a true story about a woman by the name of Renee. Now, Renee cleans houses. She has a cleaning business. And she has a wonderful service that has other people that she's trained. And she said she went through an experience of having chemo. And she said, whenever you go through a battle with cancer, the last thing you're going to want to do is any kind of cleaning. You just don't have the strength for it. You're extremely weak. Well, the people that worked for Renee, they said, don't worry about it. We'll take care of you. And that's what they did. Well, she had already started to work with an organization called Cleaning for a Reason Foundation. And this particular nonprofit organization works with people that are going through cancer treatment, and she said, we provide cleaning 4 times a month for these people because we know they can't do it themselves, and they don't charge them for it. And it's especially for women receiving chemo or radiation therapy treatments. And she said, I knew we were making a difference in the lives of these different women, but she said, I didn't realize how much a difference it made until I got hit with it. And I needed the help. Well, since 2006, Cleaning for a Reason has partnered with nearly 1,000, you're hearing me correctly, 1,000 other cleaning agencies that have in turn given away services for free for people that have been in need because of illness. And she said, my company alone has donated well over 100. And she said, when you deal with situations like cancer and the treatments that people go through, she said, it really does make a difference when you can assist other people. So this is one woman who, along with 1,000 other businesses in a particular state, have said, this is how we are going to make a difference. And they have affected the lives of hundreds of patients. You never know where what you do is going to take you and how you're going to be able to affect other people, how you're going to be able to bring a richness into their lives. It's a fascinating journey, and wherever you are and whatever you're doing, realize that you have your own special magic. You have something so special inside of you that you just need to be able to bring it out into life and take pride in it. You can't rescue the world. It's not possible. But in your own world of who you are, you can send out a ripple effect because of what you do and how you do it. That'll have an impact maybe on someone you may never even know their name. Thoughtfulness, kindness, courtesy, a willingness to help goes a long way. And it makes a big difference. And don't ever let anybody tell you that life is not worth participating in, because it is. That's what makes life so special. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. And when we come back, I'm going to share with you a fabulous story about a nun who is saving animals' lives. Her story is just amazing. I came across it today, and I want to share it with you. You can also give me a call at 888-627-6008. We're going to be right back.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. And again, if you want to give me a buzz, yes, I am in Santa Barbara, California, and I will be here tomorrow doing a broadcast, watching the waves come up on these gorgeous sandy beaches. But if you want to call me, you still can. And if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, 888-627-6008 is our toll-free call-in number. Give me a buzz, and I'll be glad to light up your life with a little bit of insight. This story, when I came across it today, I just thought, this is amazing. You never know where you're going to find yourself when you have a particular passion. And this woman, Sharon, well, actually, it's Sister Michael Marie. It's Sister Michael Marie. There was a woman by the name of Sharon who interviewed her. And there is the most adorable photograph that I have in front of me of Sister Michael Marie, and she's holding this itsy-bitsy baby kitten. And this woman just has just a glow around her face. She's just absolutely in love with what she does. But for over 30 years, she's been taking care of animals. Well, we have a caller, and I'm going to take this caller, and then I'll tell you more about the Sister Michael Marie. This is Donna Sebo. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, where are you calling in from?
Hi, Donna. My initial is R, and I'm calling in from Los Angeles.
From L.A. Delightful to have you on the air. I'm going to be in L.A. on Monday and Tuesday of next week.
Oh, yes. That's wonderful.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. It's been a while since I've been there. Okay, R, let's take a moment here with you. And what I'm looking at, first of all, is I want you to stop beating yourself up because you're not seeing the results that you want as quickly as you want. You've got a lot on your plate. You are very much involved in organization. You are very much involved with trying to balance so many things. Oh, dear, we lost the connection with her. Well, let me just finish what I was going to say with R. I don't know why she got disconnected. I hope she'll call back in. But, R, what I'm looking at with you is that you are going to need to be alert to the fact of your priorities with whatever you do. Your time management is very important, and you've got to take time to relax. I am picking up such stress in your neck and shoulder area muscles that I really am concerned about you because there is this tremendous demand that you have for yourself about getting things done. And I really think you need to be aware and alert. Be kind to yourself. Give yourself the rest that you need. And take time to just be off by yourself in some way. Maybe paint or, if you love music, sing or dance or whatever you can do of a creative nature that allows you to bring yourself back into balance, because I don't see things lightening up. I think that there's an intensity in your life that's going to be going on for quite a while. So I want you to be good to yourself above all things. I want you to be good.
Donna, I missed the first. Hello?
Hello, are you there?
Yeah, I missed about the first 30 seconds because when you started to talk, we got disconnected.
I heard that. Beep, beep, beep. Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry that that happened. Well, I have to tell you, I don't remember exactly what I said because when it comes through me like this, it's very, very fast. But let me just just tell you that you have got a very, very intense schedule ahead of you. And you need to be able to prioritize what you do because you've got so much that you're balancing and you are a person that has a very, very strong sense of responsibility. By golly, if you're committed to doing something, that's it. Come hell, high water, the deep blue sea, you are going to get things done. And that's commendable, but I think you're going to need to make evaluations about how you can give yourself some private time. You need to have some downtime that allows you to rejuvenate yourself. And there are some conflicts with people coming up, and these conflicts are coming up again because something needs to be settled. There needs to be a side of you that says, I'm not going to follow this patterning anymore. So there is, it's like a retreat. It's like you're going to have to say to certain people, this is not something that I choose to have in my space anymore. I am not going to go this route. This is not effective for me. So you are coming into a very decisive period, especially in the year 2012. And I think there's a lot going on prior to November the 13th of this year, where you're going to have to be very clear about what you are going to work with and what you are not going to work with. This is very important, and that clarity is going to upset some people. All you need to do, don't get angry, don't get concerned, just say, this is how it's going to be done. This is what I'm going to do. You don't need to even offer any explanations. Just say, things have changed. This is what I'm going to do, and I think you'll come out ahead. Do you have a quick question for me?
My mother. What shall I do about my mom?
All right. Now, you're concerned about your mother. What is it exactly? Because I don't see a whole lot changing relative to your mom. What's your concern, dear?
Okay, I do have her in a facility, and I'm thinking I should switch her again. I'm not sure that this is working, is the best place for her. And I have total chaos in my home.
All right. Well, this is going to take a lot more than just a couple of resolutions. With your mother in the facility, how long has she been in this facility?
She's only been in this one a little over 3 months, but I've had her in four different ones, and there's a huge conflict of interest. I've had a heavy depression and from having been a caregiver, and then I sort of let my health fall.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I'm still working, but I just can't seem to find the energy I need. I found a nutritionist that's going to be working with me, and I'm in the process of buying a lot of things now. I listened to your show with the young lady about the herbs. That was so interesting. But I've gone backwards, Donna, and I'm feeling really, really heavily burdened.
Okay. Well, I think that, again, we're not going to have time to go in on this, but this is good you've called, and I'll tell you why. First of all, you're realizing you've reached a point where you need to change, period. You cannot take on everything. And relative to your mother, I would say with the facility, for example, and let me just use this quickly because I know we're just about out of time. If there was a conflict about food or something like this, there are ways that that can be managed. And I think you need to start asking for some assistance, maybe from some people that are really involved with caregiving. I know that I'm going to be in Los Angeles, and I know I'm just about out of time here because I have to say goodbye. I'm sorry I can't do more with you on the air.
Yes.
But if you need to reach me, call my office, 253-582-5604. And if you'd like to meet with me while I'm in Los Angeles, and it can be by phone or in person, whatever you'd like to do, then give me a call, and I'll call you back.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, dear. This is Donna Sebo broadcasting from Santa Barbara. I am so sorry that we're out of time, but I'll be back tomorrow, right here in sunny California, same time, same place, right here on BBS Radio, talking about the fabled mushroom. We'll find out a lot you didn't even know. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a fabulous day. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.